This summer, or this month of August, we're looking at the book of Ezekiel in our messages, and we're looking at the ways in which Ezekiel has connective tissue from the day and age in which this young prophet wrote it, living in exile in Babylon and seeing the world around him, and it takes an almost otherworldly shape and picture, and how that sometimes can be very similar. We can see some very stark similarities to the day in which we live, and where there's just seems to be things that are confusing and confounding that cause us to long to search for God's meaning and God's purpose in the midst of very confusing, almost otherworldly times. And Ezekiel has this sort of otherworldly characteristic about it. It's almost as if, you know, the mothership, the alien ship, descended down, and the little green guys got out of the ship and told Ezekiel what he was to say. I mean, well, let me just take a step back. I'm ad-libbing there, so let's not compare God to aliens. So that's not what I'm doing right now. But what do the little green men say when they stick the little ray gun in our face? They say, "Take me to your leader," right? And Ezekiel has those sorts of strange, wonderful, evocative images in it. And so we're looking at some texts from Ezekiel that will hopefully bring us comfort and give us some perspective on the world in which we live. And so as we come now to this morning's text, I want to invite you to either take out your Bible, or if you're using a smartphone, turn on your Bible, or turn to the screens to my left and right. And we're going to be looking at Ezekiel 17, starting at verse 22. And when I'm done reading, I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," so that if you believe it to be true, you can respond by saying, "Thanks be to God." Listen carefully. We're reading God's holy word. "Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On that mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit, and it may bear branches and it become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird in the shade of its branches. Every birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what we just read never will. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. God, may your word this morning be an encouragement to us as we live in uncertain times and wonder about strange things happening in our midst. We pray that your word would plant deeply in our hearts, that it would grow, it would flourish, that it would bear fruit, and that fruit would abide. Lord, be our teacher this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as the Beach Boys song from the Pet Sounds album suggests, I just wasn't made for these times. And maybe that song title has some truth in it for you. Maybe that sort of rings true in a strange sort of way in your life. And if it does, I want to say to you that we shouldn't be too quick to look beyond. That we shouldn't be too quick to want to escape these strange and difficult times. Because the truth of our life is that God has uniquely purposed each one of you. He's uniquely purposed each one of us here and now in this place and at this time, and has given you special gifts that are to bear fruit, that are to grow and to flourish, even if it feels somehow like we are out of place. We all go through times when it feels as though we're foreigners living in the land that we are. In the book of 1 Peter, it says that we are resident aliens, that we are at home on the one hand, but at the same time, we are also never quite at home. I had an experience that sort of illustrates this last spring. I had the privilege of traveling to the Holy Land for a few weeks, and I arrived in Tel Aviv about a day and a half before the rest of our group arrived, and so I had a chance to kind of make my way around Tel Aviv. I went and visited the Mediterranean and rode public transportation and walked around downtown. It's a very, very cosmopolitan city, except for the fact that I virtually couldn't understand a word that was being spoken around me. I had this odd feeling as I was standing on a city bus making my way back to the airport to meet up with the group that I was in a place that people looked a lot like me. We looked very similar, and yet I had virtually no connection with what was going on around me. Genuinely, I felt like an alien in their land. And maybe there's times where you feel like that, even in your own community or in your own home. That feeling of isolation that sometimes comes, that doesn't take much to bring a little breath of hope into that moment. Small gestures in the midst of times like these can have a really big impact. And so as I'm standing on this bus in downtown Tel Aviv, and I'm inside, I'm beginning to really worry because I don't know what stop I'm supposed to get off in order to get onto the train to get back to the airport. And so I'm standing there thinking to myself, I don't know where I'm going. I don't want to be that rude, arrogant American tourist who looks around and assumes that everybody speaks his language and say, you know, where am I supposed to go? And then eventually I feel a little tap on my shoulder. It was as if this person behind me knew that I was, could feel the inner turmoil going on inside of me, or maybe he just saw the sweat starting to saturate my shirt. And he said, "Do you know where you're trying to go?" And he said it in English, and I was like, "Oh, thank goodness." I said, "Yes, I'm trying to get back to Ben-Gurion Airport." And he said, "Ah, yes. You're going to get off at Haggadah Station. That's three stations from now." And I just, it was humbling, and there was just this rush of peace and calm that's all of a sudden swept over me that I was, okay, it's going to be okay. That small gesture of affirmation, of care, let me know that I was not lost in this place. And Ezekiel is called to do the exact same thing for the people of Israel who are exiles in Babylon. Ezekiel believes in affirmation. The text that we read this morning comes after a long stretch in the book in which Ezekiel is given this image, given this vision to communicate. And this picture that he paints is one of grim despair and hopelessness for God's people. Judgment and punishment are prophesied over the people of Israel, but then Ezekiel speaks up with these words of affirmation. And it comes in a sort of a strange, unlikely sort of way. The beginning of chapter 17 says this. It says, it starts this way. It says, "Son of man, propound a riddle, speak an allegory." So this text, chapter 17, is an allegory. It's a riddle that has been given to Ezekiel. And maybe That was the message that Israel needed to hear. Maybe they needed to hear a message of hope in a way that was sort of different from the language or from the vernacular that they had been used to. They needed to have their minds turned in order to understand what God was trying to say to them. Ezekiel, this 30-something priest, has been ripped out of his homeland and stuck down in downtown Babylon, along with a bunch of other displaced, discouraged Israelites. They've lost their lives, they've lost their homelands, they've lost their church, they've lost their sense of identity. It was literally being dissolved around them. And they're living in a suburb of the capital city called Tel Habib, which is the Babylonian or the Arab term. And it means mound. Tells are simply mounds. In ancient civilizations, it was just a story of a series of building up and then tearing down by conquest. So you build up a city, it would be taken over by a foreigner and then destroyed, and then they would build their civilization on top of it. And so, you know, in ancient culture, cities, when they're called tells, they're just these mounds of civilization on top of civilization on top of civilization. And so Ezekiel is in the city called Tel Habib, and it just is the meaning of that word is mound of the flood. So he was living in a city that had been destroyed by a flood. And this riddle that he is given to speak to the Israelites is a fascinating one. It's a story that describes their crisis, and it's really a fable. If you remember reading or having Aesop's fables read to you as a child, fables are stories where animals or inhuman beings are given human qualities. They're the main characters in the story, and in this vision that Ezekiel receives is a fable. There's two eagles, and then there's a tender sprig, a tender shoot. And if you look at the footnotes, if you look at the notes in your text, you realize that the eagles, one represents the Babylonian Empire, and one represents Egypt. And so you have to the north, the Babylonians, and to the south, the Egyptian Empire. And right in the middle is this tender sprig. And so it's sort of a geopolitical story. And the tender sprig is Israel. And because it has been taken from its root and it's been transplanted in this new place, the tender sprig struggles. It dries up. It withers where it's planted. And then into this context, into this experience where Israel feels like it's dying on the vine in Tel Habib, in Babylon, Ezekiel speaks a word of encouragement. Let me tell you this story. There's something else at work in our lives, something beyond our lives. It's the presence of God. And in verse 22, he says that God himself will take this tender sprig and will plant it himself on a high mountain, on a high and lofty mountain, so that it will produce boughs and it will bear fruit and it will become a noble cedar. None of those things that discourage you at this moment, and maybe you're going through a time where you're feeling some discouragement, or you know somebody who is going through a discouraging time. None of those things that make you feel as though that you are a stranger living in a strange land will be able to stand in the way of what God has for your life. I myself will bring life into your life, God says. There's a tender sprig in my life. There's a tender sprig in your life. There's a tender sprig in this church's life, but we don't see it unless we are able to hear the word of the Lord. God makes it his business to do great things with small seeds, with small plants. Later, Jesus in the Gospels will tell the story of the smallest seed of all the seeds, the mustard seed, and how it will grow ravenous and wild into a great tree, a dense shrub where birds and animals can find their safety, can make their nests. But it comes as a tender seed. This is what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. It doesn't take much, but what's possible when it's planted in our lives, and better yet, when it's planted in the presence of good community and good soil, is immeasurably good. So Ezekiel doesn't realize it at this point, as he's sort of unfolding this riddle before them. But we later learn that Jesus is the answer to the riddle. Jesus is the riddle, and he is the answer to the riddle in our lives. He's the one who says to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I will call you friend. When you're feeling in your life, what are you feeling in your life that is causing you to feel maybe like an alien, feeling different, feeling outcast, the way that Israel felt in Babylon? Is there a place where you're feeling dried up spiritually or physically? Is there a place where you feel like your circumstances around you are beyond your control, that you are caught in something that you can't seem to break free from? Maybe it was a decision you made that's still having repercussions. Maybe there's a member of your family who is caught in a struggle that is difficult and seems impossible for them to break free from. Maybe you think things will always just be the way they are, and that is altogether discouraging to you. Whatever it is, I want to tell you that there is a tender sprig in your life. There is a tender sprig in our lives. It's a word of hope. It's an affirmation. It's that word of the Spirit saying, I'm here. I'm with you. You are mine. You are not alone. What was it about Ezekiel that allowed him to speak prophetically to the Israelites? What allowed him to speak poignantly? What allowed him to speak words of hope into this displaced people's lives? It's the fact that he was right there with them. He knew the crisis they were going through because he was living that crisis too. He didn't get caught up into their despair, but he heard from God and was able to rise above their circumstance. And the only way we are able to do that is by allowing our God to move into those tender areas of our lives and to have God speak those words of truth and affirmation and hope to us. Last week I told you the story of Father Damien, a priest to the lepers of Molokai, and how the most important and poignant moment of his ministry was when he was finally able to stand before them and say, we lepers, that their struggle became his struggle. Jesus moved Father Damien into their lives, and by his compassion for them, and by Jesus' compassion for Father Damien, Jesus was able to plant those tender sprigs of hope into their lives and into the lives of others. There's another story I wanted to share of a moment of encouragement, a profound encouragement. The baseball player, Jackie Robinson, recalls a moment where that tender sprig was planted into his life. He recalls the day, it was either 1947 or 1948, and before the game began, he and his other infielders were taking grounders and practicing for the game. And he was at first, and some of the opposing fans had gathered along the rail right next to first base. And some of them began to harass him and call him names and ridicule him and just spew their hatred and negativity towards him. Now, all Jackie Robinson wanted to be was a guy who was able to play ball and was able to help his team, but these fans were making it difficult for him. They did not want him to be there because he was black. And so the comments, the racism began to sound towards him. But Jackie was accustomed to this. He had experienced racism before. He had been jeered. He had been ridiculed. He had been spat on and spiked. But this day was particularly hard. And he was not sure. But he wondered, could this be the end? Could this be the day when it finally comes to an end? You see, he had signed in his contract a non-retaliation clause, that if he were to retaliate in any way towards the things that were done towards him, it would nullify his contract. He could feel himself flooding with shame and with anger and with righteous indignation for this injustice. And surprisingly, in that moment, another player walked across the diamond, came and stood next to Jackie and put his arm around him. Pee Wee Reese, the other infielder for the Dodgers, came over from shortstop, stood next to his teammate. Before they were teammates, Pee Wee said, "I had never shaken the hand of a black man. And yet there he stood, putting his arm around Jackie and encouraging him until the jeering and the ridicule stopped." This is how Jackie remembers the story. He says, "Pee-wee kind of sensed the hopeless dead feeling in me and came over and stood by me for a while. He didn't say a word, but he looked over at the chaps who were yelling at me and he stared. And he was standing by me. I will never forget that." That's affirmation. It changed the course of one man's life. There are two people who you will never forget. The person who kicks you when you're down and the person who lifts you up when you're down. The Bible commissions you and me to be people who are affirmation givers, who speak words of hope and truth into other people's lives. Proverbs 16 says, "Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." Through your words, you can communicate this sort of alien transformation, alien affirmation. And you might be the kind of person who says, "You know, every day I'm going to go out there and I'm going to tell 5 people how great I think they are." Or maybe you're just the kind of person who does this naturally, where it's just a part of your natural rhythm of life. Regardless of how, keep doing it. Keep affirming. Keep encouraging one another. Because it might be that passing encouragement. You might not even realize it or think about it. But it might be that word of hope to someone that keeps them in the game, that encourages them, that becomes that tender sprig in their life, that allows them to say, "Today I can make it." You never know what tender sprigs are around you. There was another sprig that was planted in the ground one day, and only this one, the enemy was convinced, would only wither and die. On Good Friday, when that wooden cross was planted on the hill of Golgotha, no one had any hope that it would become anything more than a Roman execution, tucked away in a little corner of a forgotten neighborhood, where a nobody from nowhere was snuffed out of memory. But you see, that's the irony of hope. What looks in someone's life like the end, seen through the right lens or through the right part of the story, can be the beginning of hope. When everyone around is discouraged on Friday, Jesus comes to them on Sunday and says, "Look with your eyes, feel with your hands. Before you stands life, new life." And I'm here to tell you that it's true. I'm here to encourage you and affirm you. Just as God has a plan for my life, God has a plan for your life. And the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, we will discover it together. There's a life in your life that's more than your life today. There's a life in your neighbor's life that's more than their life today. And God is coming to put his arm around you and to put his arm around them. He's done it in Jesus Christ, and he's using you to accomplish it in others. So don't fear. Let's pray. Father, right where we're sitting, I pray that your word of encouragement, that tiny sprig of hope, would be nurtured and nourished. That by your Spirit, your word would grow up in us to be a strong, fruitful plant. And that we would be the kind of people who nurture and encourage and affirm others. And the tender sprigs, the tender words of hope that are growing within them. God, may we see these truths. May we believe this story in our lives. And may we be sent to be resident aliens, affirmers of others, spreaders of hope. For we do this not in our own power, but we do it by the power and in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.